as we are about to hear the Lord speak to us in the reading and the preaching of his word, let us bow our hearts and ask the Lord to bless his word to us. Heavenly Father, we do bow our hearts before you, and we acknowledge that we need your grace and your spirit so that we don't just go through the motions of maybe hearing this or that, but not really thinking through things, not really paying attention. Help us to see, Lord, this is not worshiping you. In reality, it's worshiping ourselves. So help us, O Lord, to acknowledge, even now in prayer, that we need your Spirit to be present here, to work in us, so that your word actually speaks to us. So bless us and work in our hearts through your Spirit and your word now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As you see, we'll have two passages to read for Scripture. Proverbs 4, first of all, and then also from Mark 7, if you want to right away look that up, Mark 7. And our text is Proverbs 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4 and Mark 7. First, Proverbs 4, starting at verse 20. We'll read through verse 27, the end of the chapter. Let us give our attention to the reading of God's word. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. And then in Mark 7, we'll read 18 to 23 there. Mark 7, verse 18. Continuing on and reading God's word. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. May the Lord bless the reading and also the proclamation of his word to us this morning. Beloved congregation, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, the wisdom that we read of in the book of Proverbs, it's wisdom for life. These are not just a collection of, you know, rather good suggestions, as if here are some things that you might find helpful. No, this is wisdom that is essential for life. It's wisdom that's absolutely necessary for a daily relationship or walk with God, who is your creator, and in Jesus Christ, your recreator. In 1 Corinthians 1:24, Jesus is called the wisdom of God. That means that in Jesus Christ, we have wisdom, as described in the book of Proverbs. And it's wisdom for a relationship with God. And now here in our text, we, as those who are in Jesus Christ, We have a very explicit command. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Our theme is, the child of God is commanded to keep his heart. Pretty simple, isn't it? Well, first let's see our first point, the truth of the heart and the reason for this command. I'm sure you know it, that in the Bible, the heart of man is not, first of all, a physical organ. Instead, in the Bible, the heart is the very core, the very center of a person. It is the root or the essence of who you are and what you are. It is the heart which makes man, and by man, that's as male and female, makes man to be different from all the other creatures which God made. Man was made with a spiritual center, often called the soul in the Bible. And this is so important because it means that mankind, over against all the other creatures, mankind was to respond to his Creator from his heart. Animals also respond to their Creator. They respond to God, but not from a heart, even though they physically also have a heart. Because you see, in this sense, scriptures teach us that man was made a covenant being. That means always, in all things, man from the heart responds to God in obedience or disobedience. That's what it means to be a covenant being. To respond from the heart to your Creator, either in obedience or disobedience. Think about the law that we read earlier. Summary of it, even. We have from the heart either hatred or love to God and to our neighbor. So that's why our text says, out of it, that is, out of the heart, spring the issues of life. A literal translation of that is, out of it are the outgoings of life. So we need to see, the Bible teaches us about ourselves that the heart is the source of our thoughts, our desires, our actions, of everything about us and all of our life. It all comes out of the heart. So just think of it. In Matthew 12, Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In Psalm 53, verse 1, David, by the Holy Spirit, said, the fool has said, in his heart there is no God. That doesn't start by rational inquiry and stuff. It starts in the heart to say there is no God and to live that way. And of course, we read in Mark 7, Jesus said, it is what comes out of a man that defiles him. And why? Verse 21, for from within, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts. And then it lists all those sins. So Jesus concludes and says, all these evil things come from within and defiles a man. And from within is from his heart, right? So now think about this a bit. When we sin, and we even sin and we think it's okay, but it is against God's law. The first problem is not that we didn't know or we didn't understand and that kind of thing. That's how many try to excuse sin. Notice I said try to excuse because there is no excuse. But they try to excuse sin. And that's very common. But it's a cop-out. And such an excuse will never lead us to repent and never lead us to know forgiveness. The truth is that all sin of every kind comes from within, from the heart. And not knowing, not understanding, that's because our heart is darkened, is sinful, full of sin. And yeah, of course, God, our Creator, He didn't create man with such a heart. God created man with a good and a clean heart, a heart that would love God and would serve Him in all of life. But in Adam, in that fall, we all, with him, have a heart that is dirty, a heart that is unclean. So that's why, just for example, Proverbs 22:15 tells us, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. It's bound up in his heart to do what is foolish, and that's sinful. Genesis 6:5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that, just listen to this, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Ecclesiastes 8:13 says, the heart of the sons of man is fully set in them to do evil. So, it's obvious by now, isn't it? We need God to clean our hearts. That's why David prayed after he had sinned, create in me a clean heart, O God. And for example, in Jeremiah 24:7, God promises, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord and they shall be my people. Remember about the first commandment, that we rightly know him? Well, we need a heart for that. And God says, I'll give them a heart so they know me, and so they'll be my people. Brothers and sisters, the point is, by nature, by our fallen nature, our heart is set to sin, bound up in foolishness. And so you see, the very reason for this command to keep your heart, that can only be because God has given you a clean heart so that you know him and you can be his people. That means to live in obedience to him in all of your life. So let us see in our second point, who is given this command and why? When you look at our text, Proverbs 4:23, you notice this command says, keep your heart. Who does the your refer to there? In other words, who is given that command? Well, you know it. The answer is in the context. And it's even included in part of what we read. Verse 20 says, my son. And in the first verse of this chapter, chapter 4, it says, hear my children, the instruction of a father. So you see, the your refers to my son, my children. They're commanded to keep your heart. So it's the offspring, it is the children of wisdom. And again, Jesus Christ is our wisdom. It's very clear. Those who are commanded to keep your heart are exactly those whose hearts are made clean. They are renewed in Jesus Christ. They have been made a child of God. In Jesus Christ, they were bought by his blood. If you are a child of God, your heart, the center and source of your life, out of which proceeds everything in your life, it's clean. It's clean. It's pure. It was made clean by the Holy Spirit and the Word. Think of what we confessed earlier from the Heidelberg Catechism. As a child of God, I am not my own. I belong in body and soul to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He bought me with his precious blood. And he works in me to be heartily, from the heart, willing and ready to live for him. That's a clean heart. And the Holy Spirit worked through faith in our hearts by the gospel, we confessed. So brothers and sisters, children, young people, truly having salvation in Jesus, again, by true faith, that means your heart is clean. And like a clean fountain, from it will come a clean, pure stream. Jesus said it. For example, in John 7:38, Jesus said, "He who believes in me out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Jesus didn't say, maybe he'll have rivers of living water. He didn't say sometimes or even it should. He said, that's going to be the case. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You see it? Believing in Jesus for salvation means you have a clean heart. It's given to you by grace through faith. And when you hear that, you just have to right away think of Ephesians 2:8. By grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, right? So that's the heart you've been given. And now you are commanded also to keep it. Keep it so that out of it will flow a clean life, living water. So the point is, it is only the true child of God who can do this. If the heart is not, first of all, made clean, it's hard to kind of admit this, brothers and sisters, but we have to see. If the heart is not, first of all, made clean by God's grace, there's nothing to keep. We saw it in our first point. It's still filthy. It's still polluted. And as long as that's the case, it will keep pouring out all kinds of dirty streams. Evil things, like we read in Mark 7. So you see, as a child of God, you and I need this command to keep your heart. Why? Because we all still have the remnant, the leftover of our fallen nature. If you will, there's still kind of a leftover seed of being inclined to hate God and our neighbor. So that's why we are commanded to keep our heart clean. So we can think of it like it's maintenance. It's made clean, now keep it that way. The word keep here means to guard it or watch over it. And it means don't let it get corrupted. Don't let it get dirty again. See, if we don't keep our hearts, it's going to get polluted so that we very easily stop putting to death the old nature, the remnant of it, and we allow our heart to get dirty, and then the sinful life flows out from it. That happens. So how do we do this? How do we keep this fountain clean, which is our hearts? Our third point addresses it. How do we obey this command? If you look at our text once again, it says, keep your heart with all diligence. Some English translations have above all else, or they have above every charge. A literal translation would be like this: with all keepings, keep your heart. Or it could also be, with all that you guard, guard your heart. So no matter what translation, it becomes very clear that to obey this command is of the utmost importance. So that in all concern and all keeping, focus on your heart most of all. That's the point there. And let's just think about this for a moment. For example, if you like your garden, you know, you like plants, you like flowers, you like vegetables, well, then you keep your garden. You work at it. You don't let the weeds overtake the vegetables and the flowers and so on. If you have a car, you paid money for it, and you like it, well, you keep it. When it gets dirty, you wash it. Every few thousand miles, you get it serviced. You get an oil change. When there's a funny sound, you get it checked out, and on and on. You keep it. You maintain it. We do this with all kinds of things in our lives. Even ourselves, our own persons. We keep ourselves. We exercise. We eat the right foods, and on and on. When something doesn't feel so good, like I had last weekend, you go to the ER and you get it checked out. We get very good at keeping things. If we care about them. And yeah, especially if we spent money on it. And we had to work for it. We have an investment, if you will. We keep it. Take care of it. Guard it. And what about your heart? As a child of God, we confess that Jesus spent, if you will, money on it. He paid for us with his precious blood. He worked by his Spirit through the gospel to own you and me. And he's the one who commands you and me, with all keepings, keep your heart. Keep it. Maintain its purity. See it as a precious possession of God, because he paid for it with his precious blood. And how do we do that? Well, first of all, we have to understand that we are not passive in this. In other words, it doesn't somehow happen by itself. Kind of, you know, it's going to be automatic. This is so important to understand. Here we have a command. And given what it is, it's a command to put effort into it. With all that you guard and keep, keep your heart especially. So that's kind of the first thing we need to understand. We are not passive. We can't sit back and hope that it's going to happen. We're called to do something about it. And then also, to put it the simplest way, how do we do this? We keep our heart the same way that we got it. Our hearts were made clean. They were renewed in Jesus Christ by his Word and his Spirit, as we confessed earlier, right? And that's also how we keep it. In Jesus Christ, by his Word and his Spirit. And you know, those two, Word and Spirit, they always work together. It's never one without the other. The Spirit has sovereignly connected himself to the Word. And the word without the Spirit is just a dead letter. So it's very much as we read in Psalm 119:11. It's a pretty well-known verse. Psalm 119:11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I would not sin against you. We sang a bit earlier for our preparation, right? By the Spirit of God, we, as it were, hide the word in our hearts. That means we purpose to live according to that word. And that means we have to know that word. We can't live by what feels good. We can't live by what we really prefer and all of that kind of stuff. That's just nonsense. That's humanism. That's civil Christianity and all of that. No, we hide the word in our hearts and that we live according to that word, and that means we have to rightly know that word. And we live according to it from our hearts. Again, because we know that everything in our lives flows out of our hearts. So that's how we are able to keep our hearts. Think about how Jesus did that as he lived here on earth. He was able to keep his heart by using the word. He answered the devil and his temptations by using the scriptures. He even corrected the devil when he falsely used scriptures by using scriptures. So a false use of scriptures doesn't mean you have to forsake them and try something else. No, you use scriptures rightly. Rightly know him, right? And that's how you keep your heart. By the word, worked in you and me by the Spirit of God. So you see, it's more than just an intellectual coming to know. Right? It involves that, but it's the Spirit using that in my heart. So this is what I'm committed to. And that's why it's so important. Remember, this takes effort. It takes all diligence on our part. So instead of following the world and the culture around you, which is ultimately being passive, your diligent work in learning the word, and by the Holy Spirit using that to give you a commitment to it. In other words, conviction. That will keep your heart pure. And then also the streams from your heart. All of your life will also be pure. We see it in Proverbs 4. Look at verse 4. In Proverbs 4. We read it. Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. Sorry, that was before our scripture reading there. Okay, Proverbs 4, verse 4. Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. See that? The path of life is keeping God's commands. And when we don't follow God's commands, we really have a death wish. And so God's word in our hearts that are renewed in Jesus Christ, that results in keeping his commands, and that's the path of life. So you see, God's law, his word, it's life. It's life we have in Jesus Christ. And it's a life that we cherish from our hearts as we live day by day. Look at what we read in Proverbs 4, verses 20 and 21. My son, give attention to my words. See that? Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. See it? My words, my son, child of God, keep, and the word there is more like preserve them in the midst of your heart. Let them direct you in all of your life. And then also after our text, in verse 24 and following, There we see some kind of what we would say follow-up commands from our text. And yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's a bit confusing. Because these commands address not the heart, but our mouth, our eyes, our feet. See, it's about watching what we say, watching what we look at, watching where we go. And you see, these are the streams. These are the issues of life that flows from our heart. Okay? So verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth. That means, well, love the truth, because it's from the heart. Love the truth. Speak the truth. Be honest. Be upright. Verse 25, let your eyes look straight ahead. That really refers to having a fixed goal and you keep on it. You don't get easily sidetracked from a fixed goal. And of course, the primary goal that we have in Jesus Christ is to glorify God and to enjoy Him, right? So when we go through life, is this going to help me to obey God and enjoy Him? Or no, not so much, right? Let your eyes look straight ahead. Verse 26, ponder the path of your feet. Path there is the way that we live. And in verse 27, do not turn to the right or left. Remove your foot from evil. The point is, as we do these things, as the word is in our hearts, that is how we keep our hearts. Because again, all we do, all we think, all we say, how we live, it all comes from the heart. So, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, dear congregation, each step that we take in life, it comes from the heart. And each step is always a trial or a temptation, same word. It's a trial or temptation to either have this step be a blessing given to us to serve God and enjoy Him, or it's a step leading to sin, to do what is evil. Mark 7. In all things, we face obedience or disobedience, a stream of living water coming from us or a polluted stream. And you hear that, and then you think about Jeremiah 17:9. I think another pretty common known verse. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? You can't. I can't. We can't. Unless God shows us our hearts. And He does it by His word and by His spirit. And I pray that this morning He has done that for you and for me, so that He has shown us that the things we do and what we say and what we think, even what no one knows, all these are issues that come from the heart. Oh, praise God that in Jesus Christ, by His word and by His spirit, our hearts are clean. But then let us also obey the command to keep it clean. And we obey this command by making great effort to have His word and spirit work in us so that we, from the heart, we think and we act according to the truth. And yeah, we grow in that. So may the prayer of David, which we heard in our call to worship from Psalm 139, may that truly be our prayer as a child of God. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And again, He does it by His word and by His spirit. Above everything else that you keep in your life, keep your heart so that out of you will flow rivers of living water. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts before you, and we are contrite because we are forced to give up all our own resources and all our own wisdom and to lean on your wisdom, and there we find life. And we find how to keep that life so that we have living streams that come out of our life. We thank you, Lord, that you are the captain of our salvation, and that in your great love and grace you have spoken to us about how we can maintain our hearts and lives. And we do it only in your grace by the word and spirit by which you have given us, made us to be your own in the first place. So, Father, we pray, deeply work in us the truth of what we have heard, and may your word accomplish your purposes that you've given it to us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.